know, first thing this morning, I was reminded of the verse that goes somewhat like this. Wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, and something else beyond that, I forget what it is. But since then, more people have shown up. Praise the Lord. Shabbat shalom. Today's parasha is Chayei Sarah, and it's from Genesis 23:1 through 25:18. It is named for Abraham's wife Sarah, but it begins with Sarah's death. She lived to be 127 years old. Some of the Jewish sages have said that the shock of the Akedah, the near sacrifice of her beloved son Isaac, was what killed her. Who knows? But all of you moms could surely attest that that would have been a terrible thing to go through. Abraham was now faced with the task of burying his wife. He wanted to bury her in a cave called the Cave of Machpelah. He bought the cave and the field in which it stood from Ephron of the Hittites with no negotiation for 400 shekels, which was an exorbitant price. As a stranger and a sojourner, he wanted to follow Jewish law and bury her in a separate Jewish burial site. Now, my mom owns Skyway Memorial Park. It's a cemetery up in Magalia. And I learned recently that the cemetery has a separate place for Jewish people to be buried there. I didn't have any idea that was Jewish law, to be buried separately. After this, Eliezer of Damascus, Abraham's servant, made a covenant with Abraham to find his son Isaac a wife from among relatives living in Mesopotamia and not from the Canaanites. If you can remember, the Canaanites had a lot of weird practices, including idol worshiping. Eliezer set out on a 500-mile journey toward the city of Nahor and the place where his own father died, taking 10 camels laden with gifts in search of Isaac's bride. At a city near Nahor, Eliezer made the camels kneel down and asked God for a sign. After all, he didn't really know what or who he was looking for. The young women of the city came to the well to draw water for their families every day, so it would be a perfect place to look for Isaac's future bride. When the young maidens came, he would ask them for a drink of water. The woman who offered to draw water for all of his camels as well would be the woman that he was looking for. A thirsty camel can drink up to 14 gallons of water. Eliezer had 10 camels. That's 140 gallons of water, weighing over 1,000 pounds. It's half a ton of water. So you can see that it was not a small thing for Rebecca to offer to do that. She was the one, all right. She passed the test. Eliezer gave her expensive rings and other jewelry and asked her about her family status. When he learned that the Lord had led him directly to the granddaughter of Abraham's brother, Nahor, he was overjoyed, and then he thanked the Lord for guidance and success. Back at Rebecca's home, Eliezer told Bethuel and his family the entire story of his journey from Abraham and Canaan, including his prayer to the Lord for a sign of a wife for Abraham's son, and how she had passed the divine test. He asked them if they would show some kindness and agree to give Rebekah as Isaac's wife. Both Bethuel and Laban agreed that the Lord had indeed chosen Rebekah to be Abraham's son's wife, and they didn't object to the match. Upon hearing this, Eliezer gave more gifts to Rebekah and to the rest of her family as well. Then they ate a meal together, and Eliezer spent the night with them. The next morning, Eliezer wanted to leave for Canaan with Rebekah, but her parents wanted her to stay a while. When they finally asked her if she was willing to depart immediately, she said yes, and they left without further delay and took Rebekah's maidservants with them. When hearing these verses, I always wonder about Isaac and how he was feeling. He's sitting there back at home waiting for Eliezer to bring him a new wife, someone that he's going to spend the rest of his life with. And he must have been anxious, and he must have been nervous. He was probably sitting there hoping and praying that Eliezer used his brain and would be bringing him a special wife that would fulfill his heart's desire. God made this choice, so no doubt about it. It was love at first sight. She was beautiful and hardworking. It was a match made in heaven. At the end of this parashah, Abraham also died, and he reached the ripe old age of 175 years. He was buried in that same cave at Machpelah alongside of his wife Sarah. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. Isaac and Ishmael hadn't been getting along so well up to Abraham's death, but they reconciled for a short time at their father's grave. But that peace didn't last for long. Ishmael died at 137 years old. And his 12 sons, which he left, portray the history of Islam, the base of which is idolatry and paganism. In Mecca, Islam's most holy site, stands a silver container holding a black stone, which supposedly fell from the sky long before Muhammad was even born. Muhammad designated Allah as the single God who ruled over 300-plus already existing deities. Allah is a moon god, a pagan entity linked to the black stone worshipped at Mecca. Islam has billions of followers, and to think it's based on worship of a black rock and a moon god is truly eye-opening. Compare that to our own faith. We worship Yeshua, God's Son, who came to earth as a man to die for us and save us from ourselves and from our sin. Yeshua's death on the cross has allowed us to reconcile our lives and to look to him as our path to everlasting, meaningful life. Sometimes it seems as though life doesn't make sense, that the effort's too difficult, and no matter how hard we try, nothing seems to work right. Standing with, obeying, worshiping, and talking with Yeshua is like turning on a light bulb in the darkness. Suddenly, it all makes sense. Lord, thank you for being with us today and every day. Thank you for your endless blessings, and please let us stop to recognize that you are with us and that you are making our lives worth living. Each and every day is a wonderful gift. Please let us use that gift wisely to your glory. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.